morning, everyone. Please rise for the reading of the Word. We're going to go to Genesis 1, 26 through 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And in Genesis 2, 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being."
Genesis 9, 5 through 6. "Surely for your love blood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man."
Jeremiah 1:15, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet of the nations."
Psalms 139:13-16. "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the worst parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, and as yet there were none of them."
Hold up. You have to pray for me. You didn't prepare for that, did you?
No, I didn't.
I think the Bible tells us to be ready in season and out of season with a prayer for Pastor Mike. I think that's how it goes.
Okay, so you see, I'm not one of those people who can just like, "Oh yeah, praise the Lord." Like, I don't just like...
You're exactly what I want. Okay. So you can pray for me.
Okay. "Dear Lord, I pray for Pastor Mike. I pray that he has a good day. I pray that he treats his wife well, because she deserves it. I pray that he can just speak your word to everyone here and touch everyone's heart. Amen."
Amen. Beautiful. I don't even know what I'm going to say. You may have a seat. What a great way to start. She did not know that I was going to do that to her. And it feels good to abuse kids in such a fashion. What a great time of worship. It is so good to be involved in the worship of our Lord and our Savior with you all who are ready to jump in at moment's notice and just give Him His due and His glory. I love how women were focused on this great day, as they ought to be. And I think of moms of all different kinds. I think of the message that's coming today, and I think of how it ties directly to the role of a woman, especially in that first verse where it says, "God created." And the role that woman plays today, the mother plays today, in the creation process. That was talked about a lot in our life group this past Wednesday. But I do have a special prayer of things that have come to my mind concerning moms. And it's really just a prayer. This is not a teaching. It's my heart. So, dear Jesus, we come before you and lift up each of our own mothers to you on this wonderful day. We ask your hand to be upon each one of them with a special blessing upon them as it relates to their role as mother. Why am I crying? It's not my day. Lord Jesus, we pray for the great-grandmothers who have multiplied to three generations and have been blessed to see her line sustain and grow. Bless the great-grandmothers, Lord Jesus. We pray for the mothers who are in the throes of raising their children in this current time. And we think of their mothers, the ones who still affect change and reach into the lives of their grandchildren, that you would keep your hand upon them and bless them as they still have a role to speak directly into the lives of their grandchildren. We pray for those who have taken on the role of mother as they care for those who are without a mom. We pray for those who have desired or currently desire to be mothers, that this all comes about in your timing according to your perfect will. For those mothers who have been surrogate moms, bless them and let it be satisfying to them, I pray in Jesus' name. In this day that we live, that the role of mother be esteemed to great places, the great places that they have intended to be, that mothers would be encouraged and blessed in their wonderful role. Lord, we come against all the things that diminish the role of mother of any kind in any way. We come against the spirit would diminish life in any way. We ask you to heal and forgive those who have made mistakes against life and against the respect of the mothers who birthed them. We pray for mercy and we pray for grace to any of us who have diminished life in the great gift that it is. Finally, Lord, we thank you for our mothers, grandmothers, and great-grandmothers. For the mothers of our children, Lord Jesus, it is in your name that we pray and ask all these things. Amen. Amen. If you like saying, you may be seated again. If you're not in a life group yet, my heart breaks for you because I've heard testimony after testimony about what's going on in the different life groups. If you're waiting, that's where my heart breaks. Keep fighting to get into a group because it's going to happen. Great things are happening in life groups. And I could almost say that this is a plagiarized message, not from a concordance, not from studying the Greek and the Hebrew, not from listening to different commentators. I'm plagiarizing from my life group because of the stuff that they brought. And our group has been such a blessing, and you might get a chance to hear some of that today. First verse is Genesis 1:26. It says, "And then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish in the sea," and so on. You heard the reading. He created us in his image, and he breathed life into us. So if we go back to the beginning of creation, when God said, let there be, for 5 days, he said, let there be. Let there be. You've heard this 1,000 times already in this church. Let there be. And it was. And it came about. But on the 6th day, when he created man, he starts with, this is the Father, let us make man in our own image. Something is different in all of creation when it comes to the creation of man. And he gives us these powerful words. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, him. Male and female, he created them. In his image. So this is going to be probably an elementary kind of picture of what in his image is. And there's great depth to this. You can go into weeks of study just on these things. But for the sake of time, I'm going to just give you a simple version of this, or as how I see it. So, what is the image of God? Well, it's a three-part image of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Trinity is the image of God. And all that they represent and all the roles that they do as God. How about man? Man is created in the image of God. And it's very similar. We're created with a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. We, too, create. But we create out of what God has given us the ability to create with. Those precious children that you saw up here, young teens and children, were created. God is the ultimate creator, but he used mom and dad to create, right? Do we need to go into the story? I can go into the story. My life group went into the story. I heard about it all. I heard numbers like 500 billion and then one. Oh, I think they might have to go into the story if you didn't get that one. Okay. Okay, one gets a little later. She's a giveaway. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who calls you, is faithful, and who will also do it. So, spirit, body, and soul in the New Testament, that is in the image of God. What a beautiful thing. But he is creator, and he's created all that there is. And I'm going to just give you very quickly what that means, him as creator. We just said about the Genesis take on what creation was. God said, and it happened. There is power. When the word of God speaks, it happens. When he speaks of breath, it comes about. He is in control. We heard a song at the beginning, or at the end. He is in control of everything. The fires, the floods, the chaos, the all that. He is in it. And he knows about it. And he is accomplishing something through it. If you are his. If you are not his, he is accomplishing something through it. That you might become his. What a beautiful, powerful thing about our God. Well, who was all present at this? It says, let us, that's the Spirit, the Father, and the Son, do the creating. So Genesis 1:1, we know it's the Father speaking. And it says, and the Spirit of God, in verse 2 says, was hovering over the waters, over the face of the waters. So now the Father is there at creation. And now the Spirit is present at creation. And then in John 1:1, and you've heard this 1,000 times, we'll keep saying it, because there's new people that come in here that need to hear this. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were created by him. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then we go down to verse 14 of chapter 1 John, and it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the one and only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Colossians 1:15 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. You see the expanse of his creation. It's not just this earth. It's not just you and me. It's the heavens. Thank you, Jesus. What things? Visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Oh my, all things. You mean the principalities and the powers that we pray about in Ephesians chapter 6 that we have to wrestle against? Because we don't wrestle against each other, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against these powers and principalities. Rulers of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. That's who we wrestle against. He created that. Our Creator is grander than sometimes we think. He always has a purpose for what he creates. And then there's this verse, Peter 1:20 verse that moves me. It says, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. This is Jesus, was foreordained before the foundation of the world. You'll hear that phrase again. But was manifested in these last times for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. That's our hope. We want to get to that place. That people come to see him for who he is. Why do we do life groups? Why are we so worried about people getting into God's word together? Because it is a revelation. It is a book that reveals who God is to you and to me. That book tells us who he is. And every now and then you hit a nugget and it hits you in a different way and you grow to know who he is. When you grow to know who he is, it changes you. It reveals things to you about yourself. That's why you read his word. Not so you can find the things that everybody else is doing wrong. Yeah, that person ought to be reading this. They should. But the person that has a book in their hands is the right one to be reading it for now. Be reading God's word. Thank you, Jesus. So, he gives us physical life. He created us out of the dust of the earth. And different than all other creation, he breathed life into man. He didn't just say, let them be. He breathed life into him. Second part of that is he also gives us spiritual life. And this is where we're at. He breathed spiritual life into you and me. What does it look like? Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Job 33:4 says, the Spirit of God has made man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him life. Once again, we're seeing the Trinity in operation. The breath of God gives him life. We are spiritual creatures. The flesh that we so concern ourselves with today is going to be done away. Done away. New word. Better write that down. Done away with. Sometimes said as done with. Our flesh will be gone. We will return to the dust from which we were made. But the Spirit that God breathed into us is eternal. Eternal. What a word. That word so set me on my feet Wednesday because I heard some things that went from a different perspective than I was familiar with, and it lit me up. I want you to think about eternity. My concept of eternity has always been, when I die, I'll go to heaven and I will live forever. Well, that's consistent. That's okay. That's part of eternal direction. But eternity is greater than that. And it's a big deal to you and me because we are spirit beings before we are flesh beings. We are eternal beings. Why? Because there's an eternal God who has known us from the very foundations of the earth. From the very foundations of the earth, he knew me. How could that be? I wasn't born yet. Because my spirit, somehow, some way, maybe the 90% of my brain that's empty, has something revealed to me in heaven. I don't know. But he knows, because he sees things spiritually. He knows the beginning from the end. I think that's in the Psalms. He knows the beginning from the end. He sees what's going to come. We can't. We live in this finite world. We see what's in our face. That's what we see. Maybe we see into the future. We can prognosticate. We can predict. We can do things that maybe help us look. Not really. We're not any good at it. But he sees into the future. He sees into the past because they were all the same to him. A day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 days is as a year to the Lord. It's always. And we will be in that. Eternal. That's why being a spirit being is so valuable. And by the way, the spirit level works on two planes. There is an eternity with God for the believer. And you know what? That eternity goes both ways, and I can't even explain it to you because it's so deep, but I am in him. Right, Junior? I am in him before I even came to him in this flesh. Because he knew me when he formed me. And he knows you before he formed you. But we still have choices and decisions to make. Because in all this, he's given us a free will. And the free will determines where my spirit, which is eternal, dwells. Is it with him? Or is it apart from him? Both are eternal. When you hear words like Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that seems so church-filled and almost cliche, don't let that lie happen to you. Embrace those words and grab on and know that God is calling you and he's calling me to something greater than this present day and age. And by the way, the last song we sang spoke to how he's there here with us in this present day and age. He's a thorough and complete God. Oh, Jesus, thank you. He tells us this flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It's spirit that lives on forever and ever. We make too much of this package. That's not an excuse for me to really go celebrate Mother's Day by myself eating her cake and her ice cream and her cookout and barbecue in a frenzy. No, I still take care of the things he's given me. I'm going to be a good steward of this piece of work. John 4:24 tells us that God is spirit. And then he also tells us, following that you and I are to worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship him in the understanding of who he is. Why? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Everything about God is, the big money on him is spiritual. His big concern is spiritual stuff. This stuff that we walk in now, the flesh and body we walk in now, that's all to get right in our spirit. That's to conquer that which is going to die. To master your flesh. And most of us, all of us, have come short in that. You heard Pastor James. Pastor James, I'm referring a lot to you. Did you like steal anything off my desk? No, because he's operating by the Spirit. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. And in verse 50 of John 6 says, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I'll give for the whole world, for the life of the whole world. So know that, yes, he created us physically, but he created us spiritually. Second thing, he has a purpose for us in his creation. This is where I got a little lit up on Wednesday, and I'll probably cover that again. But for you formed me in my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Verse 16 says, your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. In other words, he was seeing me already fashioned before I was fashioned. That's the eternal peace that just like hit me in a whole different way. And I want to go back to life for a second. And I know Pastor Jerry is going to do some speaking on life as we get into July. And he'll bring it, you know him. But there's some things that hit me concerning life. When I look at a God that goes to the deep places to create me and to know me before the foundations of the earth, that tells me there's a value in me greater than I can comprehend. I shouldn't be puffed up by it because it's nothing in and of myself. It's the capabilities that he has to love. And he loved me there. I think I need to go to the next scripture before I even say this because I think this is going to pull it together, at least it did for me. And it's in Jeremiah 1:4. It says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. He's speaking to Jeremiah. Everything about Jeremiah was foreknew. He knew. So it wasn't just his being. It was his purpose. He foreknew your purpose. How much time, I guess time is a bad word. How much care did God put into creating us with a purpose for us, for his glory? What kind of care and compassion? I would say all care and compassion. Everything got poured into this. I look in the day today, and what I see, and by the way, I can offend all of you by some of the things I might say here. In the day we live in, life has been so devalued. When we hear about how it has been so valuable to him, life is eternally valuable in God's eyes. It should be in our eyes, but it isn't. How come? Why does man put so much effort in trying to create life apart from God? Many years, many decades have been invested in trying to create a one-cell object. And the probability of that happening are impossible, really. Yet man strives and tries to create life, to take God's place. And then even if they could, they can't get it to replicate. They can't get life to multiply on its own and sustain itself. Because the probability of that are impossible to the umpth degree. Umpth. Second word. Write that one down. Our God is an awesome God. And He's put time into you. And He's put time into me because we matter. There is great value in us in life. So what does the enemy of our souls do? Tries to provoke man to create life so we can be like God. Just like back in the garden when they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then at the back end, what does he try to do? Eradicate life. It's going to come. You know, we got a lot of people in this place who are they're white hairs. Or snow hairs, as my granddaughter said to me the other day. And they'll say, you're 70 years old. We're sorry. We don't do that kind of surgery for you. It's a waste of money. They don't say that. That's the inference. And we'll just let you fade away. We'll be good and merciful about it because we'll give you pain medication that takes you through. I love the prayer that God would heal cancer and eradicate it. That God would heal throughout the land and eradicate it. That's God's business. Our business is to pray for that, but not to expedite that. Is that the right word? Not to exacerbate it, not to make it happen quicker, not to take life. And then you look in between and you watch people carelessly dealing with life. Murder is through the roof. It's almost like I watch it and I'm not even shocked anymore. I'm numb to it. And if I'm numb to it and I love life and I love everything that God says about it, yet I become numb to it, what about a world who doesn't know God? How do they respond to it? How do they? They get numb to it too. And it becomes meaningless. Well, people will invest $10,000 so a dog can get better? Hey, I watch those commercials, and you know what? I'll be honest with you, I get a little tear. It comes down, and I can feel in the pit of my stomach. But to invest money in that, when we just got done praying that homeless would be eradicated, people, are you kidding me? Where have we gone? Now, I'm offending the dog lovers. I'm one of them. Cat lovers, nobody cares. But the dog lovers. The dog lovers. And we compare that to human life? What's the matter with us? What's the matter with people? I'll tell you what, I know in this church, I know some of you have called the number gay because your heart was moved, and that, by the way, is not a bad thing. But can you do that? Can you send that to some disaster that happened in a foreign land? Can you buy a lunch for somebody? I had a neat thing happen to me. Coming home from work, and I got to buy some clothes for our Good Friday service. Thank goodness it was Good Friday, because I probably wouldn't have done this. And I couldn't find anything, but I'm coming out of the store, and hey, buddy, it wasn't can you spare a dime, it was could you buy me a hot lunch? And I said, I tell you what, I'm going to go get you some food, I'm going to come right back here, so don't go away. Why did I do that? Because it was Good Friday. So I was extra guilty. God forgive me because my heart is wicked sometimes. And then I asked him what he liked. I said, is McDonald's okay? He said, I'd rather not have McDonald's. Oh, God, you're testing me, aren't you? Well, I'm going to McDonald's. Okay. So I go to McDonald's and then I see a Kentucky Fried Chicken. I thought, aw, Spirit of God's now talking to me. Not even about Good Friday anymore. It's about, I was convicted the whole way driving because I knew I did it for Good Friday, but I know that, no, he's starting to touch my heart. So I go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, and this guy wanted some barbecue wings. Well, I have a line, you know. You're going to take what I give you at this point. I went in, and I got it, and I gave it back. I gave it to him, and he was grateful. And the blessing was, for me, the initial blessing was he was grateful, but the greater blessing was, I actually got past myself to do something that God obviously put in front of me. And I thank him for that. I don't know that I always do that. Sometimes I'll slam on my brakes not to hit the muskrat crossing the road because that's, forget about the grandkids that are probably unbuckled in the back of my seat. I'm worried about the muskrat. We get off sometimes in our thinking. We have to come back to what God has designed and how valuable it is. And the depth of it gone. I'll bring my last point to you on this. So now, He is the Creator. He spent great care in creating us. And He spent great care into creating the purpose for us. Thank you, Jesus, for creating purpose for me and having it mean something. I should maybe trust Him that He'll take care of me as I enter into His purpose. Did you get that? I should take great care in entering into my purpose because He cares about me at a level that sometimes I don't even understand. It is greater than I understand. So when He takes me to the place that tells me, like we did with Janessa here, could you pray for me? And she's a character, right? You saw that. She's got some personality. Well, but she said the truth. I'm really not one who is churchy. What she's really saying is, I'm not prepared to pray for you. But God is with her. And she knows that this is a safe place. We need to know that where God has put us, it is a safe place. And He will see us through. Will there be fire? Yeah. He'll be in it with you. Will there be valleys? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. He'll be with me in the valley. In the flood? Yes. He'll expect great things. Peter, come to me. You have little faith. And what did He do? He reaches down and picks him up. He'll be there. He'll bring us to a place that stretches us. Why? Because His good purpose, His good pleasure is going to be accomplished through you and me. And He will get the glory for it. But we get something too. Knowing that He will be in the things that He is in, that He has called us to. He'll be in those things with us. We're challenging. I'm challenged by this message that He has given us. I am challenged incredibly. He already ordained Jeremiah prophet to the nation before he was born, before the foundations of the earth, before the foundations of the earth. He prepared this young lady for great things. And who knows what they're going to be. They're going to be incredible. But they are for you too. When we start talking about discipleship in the life groups, you know what we're talking about? We're talking about so getting into God's Word that we begin to get the revelation of God to us. Because that's why He gave us that Word. Because in that, we understand who He is. And when He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Kellys, you guys have to really go to the world. You have to go to Kenya. Jason, who lives in North Carolina. Jason, you have to go to Garissa. Paul Piarki, who will be speaking here in September. Paul, grab your family, and we want you to head to the Ukraine, because that's what we're calling you to do. Nathan and Veronica, get a decent car that runs, because I'm going to send you back and forth to the West Coast via the Northern Highways to stop at every tribe and speak, who will let you speak the gospel to them, because He's called you to something greater and different. And know that He will go with you in those things. And He's calling you and me to go to our neighbor and speak a word of life to somebody, that they would come to know the King of Kings, who spent great care in their growth and has a great plan for them, that He's hoping, I believe, He knows because He sees, but He's hoping that they'll grab onto that plan so He can join them in it and steer them on a course that He has planned out from them from before the foundations of the earth. Thank you, Jesus. Go serve in the kids' ministries. Go serve in the youth group. Go serve people by doing their laundry and feeding them. Go serve people by knowing that the ministries that happen here reach people. Go serve people by speaking life to them. I think, and I really believe that the time of the church to sit and enjoy the ride, if you will, is over. When you think like that, and I do, I look forward to the day where my son's off to Clearwater Beach today. I'd kind of like to be there. But when I think at a deeper level that God has created this meticulous plan just for me, to set it aside for my comfort in this bag of flesh that's temporary, makes very little sense. So if you feel guilty leaving on this great Mother's Day, I'm sorry. You can join me. Or you can be challenged, and I'm challenged, by the way, to go and do what God has called us to do. In this day and age, here's how we fight this battle. We go out of this place loving people. That's it. Loving them and telling them who loves them more than anything. And this is a way to get through your fire, your flood. Ask you to bow your heads. And I'm going to ask the prayer team that's here today, if you come to the front. I'm going to ask parents to not allow your kids to come up and go crazy at the front. Let them do them back over there by Gosaki. That would be great. But come up to the front. If you have a conviction deep within you about the word that was said today, about the worship that was said today, that God has something for you beyond you. First, He has life for you. He's given you the physical life. He's desiring for you to see the spiritual life. And then He has a plan for you to go. It's a really simple message, but it has some depth to it. You can come on up and commit to that. If you commit to any of those three today, I'm going to ask you to come up here at the altar. The worship team's just going to play really lightly. And I'm going to pray right now and dismiss, but I'm going to ask you to come forward for those.